The reminder of the true nature of a large house party had struck Tobias with the force of a lightning bolt. When Vale, who had no intention of attending the Beaumont affair, graciously offered the use of one of his private carriages for the journey, Tobias had felt himself inspired. He had been surprised, not to say greatly relieved, when Lavinia agreed to the plan with very little fuss. He suspected that her enthusiasm was generated in large part because she viewed the house party as an excellent opportunity to fish for new business, but he refused to allow that fact to depress his spirits. For the first time in their acquaintance, they would enjoy the luxury of being able to spend the better portion of not one, but two entire nights in the cozy warmth and privacy of a real bed. The prospect had been dazzling. For once, there would be no need to sneak about in remote sections of the park or make do with the desk in Lavinia's little study. For 3 glorious days, he would not be obliged to rely on the benevolent graces of Lavinia's housekeeper, who could sometimes be persuaded to take herself off to shop for currants when he came to call. He certainly savoured the all-too-brief encounters alone with Lavinia in town, but those occasions, stimulating though they were, tended to be rushed and occasionally nerve-wracking. The weather had a nasty habit of delivering rain on afternoons when he chose the park for a tryst, and one never knew when Lavinia's niece, Emmeline, might select an inopportune moment to return home. There was also the unpredictable nature of the business in which he and Lavinia were engaged. When one offered one's services to persons who wished to commission private inquiries and investigations, one never knew when a client might knock on the door. He looked at Aspasia.
"What the devil are you doing here? I thought you were in Paris."
"I am well aware that you have a tendency to be blunt to the point of rudeness on occasion, Tobias, but surely I deserve a warmer welcome from you. It is not as though I am only a casual acquaintance, after all." She was right, he thought. The two of them were forever linked by the events of the past and by a dead man named Zachary Elland.
"My apologies," he said quietly. "But the truth is, you have caught me very much by surprise. I did not see you this afternoon when the other guests descended on the castle, nor did I notice you at the costume ball tonight."
"I arrived quite late, after the evening festivities had commenced. I saw you at the ball, but you were preoccupied with your little red-headed friend." Aspasia stripped off her gloves with languid grace and held her hands out to the fire. "Who on earth is she, Tobias? I would not have said that she was your type."
"Her name is Mrs. Lake." He did not bother to conceal the edge to his words.
"Ah, I see." She looked down into the flames. "You are lovers."
It was a statement, not a question. "We are also business partners," he said evenly, "on occasion."
Aspasia glanced at him, fine brows lifted in a faintly quizzical expression. "I do not understand. Do you refer to some financial dealings in which the two of you are engaged?"
"In a manner of speaking. Mrs. Lake and I both make our livings in the same fashion. She takes commissions for private inquiries, just as I do. We investigate certain cases together."
She smiled fleetingly. "I suppose the private inquiry business is a step up from being a spy, but surely it is not nearly as respectable as your previous career as a man of business."
"I find it suits my temperament."
"I will not ask how your partner made her living before she went into this odd profession."
Enough was enough, he thought. There were limits to one's obligations to old acquaintances. "Aspasia, tell me why you are here. I have plans for the remainder of the night."
"Plans that no doubt include Mrs. Lake." Aspasia sounded genuinely apologetic. "I truly am sorry, Tobias. Please believe me when I tell you that I would not have come to your bedchamber at this hour had it not been extremely urgent."
"Can this matter wait until morning?"
"I'm afraid not." She turned away from the fire and walked slowly toward him. Aspasia was a woman of the world. He knew that she was well schooled in the fine social art of concealing her private sentiments and feelings.